Blog Talk Radio.
Reverend Edward Pinckney, the first pastor in the history of mankind to ever be sent to prison for quoting the Bible. I'm happy today. I'm happy to tell the world about my situation and the situation that's going on in the world today. We need you to listen in today because we need you to learn what is actually going on in today's world. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Benton Harbor, Michigan is the only city in the whole United States where they're still burning crosses in front of folks' houses and getting away with it. They might be still burning them somewhere else, but this is the only place in the whole United States where they're burning houses and actually getting away with it. I'm here to tell you today that this is the first case that you ever want to hear of where people are actually doing these things. Like, I'm happy today. We had a tremendous week in the city of Benton Harbor. But I'm here to tell you, this is just the beginning. I want to see if my host, co-host is on the line. Is Larry, yep. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, Larry, I'm happy to hear your voice today, because I tell you, we had a tremendous week this week. Matter of fact, I was elected president of the NAACP.
A man
who is under house arrest got to be president of the NAACP in the city of Benton Harbor. Now, I'm going to read to you right fast an article that the Herald Palladium, the newspaper that is the author of racism, wrote in reference to me. I was shocked when I heard it. When I read this article, I must confess, I was totally shocked. I mean, it was something that, you know, that when you read about it, you don't believe it, because everything they say is usually negative. They don't say anything positive about anybody who is black.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it says. It says, with his officer chosen, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People branch here is up and running again. Benton Harbor activist, the Reverend Edward Pinckney, defeated Wayne Hodges and Anthony Jett, two of Whirlpool's most respected individuals, to become the new chapter president, according to the results released by Jane Gill, vice president of the NAACP chapter, Michigan State Conference. Joining Pinckney will be Deanna R. Ellis Chopaz, doctor, that is. She's going to be the first president. Former attorney Greg Cleveland, he's former prosecutor. Second vice president, secretary Joyce Smith. She's also a tremendous friend of mine. Helen McKenzie, former teacher, retired teacher. She's going to be assistant secretary. And my close friend Belinda Brown. Everybody here was on my ticket.
All right.
And everybody here won. Everybody here won. Basically because of me. Let's put it that way. Because that's who we ran. It says here, Pinckney, who encountered with the Barron County Judicial System, had made local headlines and news, said that he didn't plan on running at first. Well, the members, they nominated me. When they want you, you have to go for it. It makes a big difference, Pinckney said. They feel like I'm the only one who's going to stand up and fight and do the right thing for them. Asked what he sees the new chapter doing, Pinckney responded, we're going to concentrate on the educational system, our medical health system, also the criminal justice system, which need a complete overhaul. Those are the main issues that we're going to deal with directly, Pinckney said. Pinckney was convicted of election fraud in Benton Harbor 2007, then sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison in 2008 for writing an article which he allegedly threatened a judge, which normally they would have said threatened a judge. That's the way they write. And then he said the sentence for that threat was overturned this year. Then he put another thing about a Michigan Court of Appeal. The NAACP ran the election ran from noon to 4 p.m. on Saturday at Hopewell Baptist Church at 356 Highland Avenue. I also had home field advantage on that issue, and was the only one open to the and was openly Gill said, all terms are 2 years. Other candidates who ran, including Ruth Harrison, she was another whirlpool. She lost. Denise Perlow, she wanted to be a whirlpool person. She lost. Carl Spigner for treasurer, he's a whirlpool person. He lost. And Gill said Cleveland and McKinney were unopposed. They was ours. Gill estimated that 120 people attend Saturday election, which, you know, with 90 people casting ballots, where I got 70 of them. However, he declined to release individual vote totals, saying it doesn't really matter what the spread was. That's because it was a landslide. And the new officers must attend a mandatory training orientation section coinciding with the NAACP September 24th, 26th state convention in Lansing, Gill said. Then they will set up what they will go to a meeting. They will start having meetings at that time. Pinckney agreed that getting the chapter back active was important. She said, "We got a straight line to Washington. That's the best part of all. We don't have to go anywhere. We're going to deal with them straight on in Washington." Pinckney concluded. Now, it was such a great week because when I walked in there on that day, Whirlpool had their people ready. I looked around. It was more Whirlpool people than my people.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't quite figure this out. I said, good grief, all my people. I said, what's wrong with them? You know, all these people who I went out of my way to help, they wasn't there. They wasn't available for me. And I said this to myself. I said, well, now what is going on here? And I looked around. I kept looking. And, you know, and it looked like we was going to lose that election. That's how I felt. But I was in there trying to count my votes and make sure that I stay ahead of whatever they were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out, Larry, it turned out that we, the people, we won by landslide. I mean, it was 70. We got about 70 votes, and one guy got 6. One of the guys, what they did, they messed up because they split their votes. They were so sure that they was going to win that they didn't bother to take the time out to realize they're not just running against me. They're running against themselves. I had them going around in circles, Larry. I had them going around. They could not believe that they was running around in circles. These guys, I mean, how could you? You talk to me, Larry. Well, let me talk about my co-host for 1 second. This is Larry Pinckney. This is my brother. This is we're not blood related, but we're brothers. But
yeah.
I love this man so much, and I understand. You know, when we talk, we can talk. And I'm on the radio show. Anytime I'm on the radio show, I want him close to me, because I know what he's capable of. He's a soldier. He's a real soldier, and he's also the one who I admire him. I respect him, and I love him so much. And I tell you, when we talk, I mean, he just inspired me to go on. And I tell you, it's a pleasure, Larry. And I don't want to get in too much about me, because I know that, you know, people always like to talk about me. Is there anything specific that, you know, we know about all the programs that the Black Panther Party really put together? We know that the breakfast program that the Black Panther Party is responsible for that. We know about y'all was the first one to pass out not only food but clothing and different things like that. These are the most important things that I can think of, Larry. But I know that you have some stuff that you might want to tell us. But I don't care what you want to talk about, Larry. You can talk about with anything your heart desires. I don't care.
Well,
because whatever you say, I'm more than happy.
Well, brother, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you and the community of Benton Harbor. I think that this is yet another important victory, people's victory. I think that this is what we, in the former Black Panther Party, what we would call a people's victory.
Yes.
Because this came about as a result of serious organizing. It came about as a result of the people themselves / ourselves realizing that we're the only ones who are going to make change. Nobody else is. Certainly not Whirlpool Corporation, you know, or any of those lackeys, or any other corporation for that matter. So I want to congratulate the people of Benton Harbor. I want to congratulate you as being part of very important part of that leadership. And I just think that we cannot cease. Now we have to really intensify in this struggle. We have to see. If I may say so, this is when I say this, I'm referring to the struggle in Benton Harbor. Is something that the NAACP, as well as other organizations, could and should not only be active in, but learning from. Because, you know, you're dealing, you know, with some very, very insidious evil people who, and I use the word people technically, very, very insidious people who clearly will do anything to that, you know, within their power. They will do anything to try and neutralize and discredit. One of the things that I do, speaking of that, if I may say so, I want to just mention briefly about two people who are, like you, brother, fighting the good fight and have been fighting it now for over 30 years of confinement. And I might say, not just confinement, but as you were wrongfully confined, and you're still under house arrest for that matter, they too have been in prison by government authorities, each of them for well over 30 years. And I'm talking about Brother Mumia Abdul-Jamal, former Black Panther, and I'm also talking about Leonard Peltier, a former leader in the American Indian Movement.
Well, Larry, can you tell me a little bit more about Leonard, please?
Sure. Leonard was set up, but when I say set up, I mean framed, and I'm sure the people in Benton Harbor know all about that.
Oh, absolutely.
He was framed by local, state, and federal authorities in the Dakotas and really throughout around the country. He was framed on the outrageous charges of having supposedly murdered a law enforcement official, which is very interesting. One, because it's a bunch of crap, but also, two, because the evidence, the ballistic evidence, similar to Mumia's case, the ballistic evidence showed unequivocally that it could not have been Leonard Peltier. More than likely, it was probably the feds themselves. I mean, they do that. But it was, there are so many similarities between these two freedom fighters' cases. You see, we don't have to go beyond the shores of this country to find freedom fighters. We have freedom fighters right here. You are one. And Leonard and you know, Brother Mumia are two more. But we have plenty of others. But I just want to mention them. They recently denied, about 10 days ago or so, they denied parole once again to Leonard, who has been a quote-unquote model prisoner, which is very difficult in any prison.
Let me ask this. What can we do to help him?
Well, at this point in time, I think that I would ask everyone to go to the www.freepeltier, that's P-E-L-T-I-E-R, now. So, again, it's www.freepeltiernow.org. Go to that site. There are any number of things. First of all, it won't take a great deal of time, but so you know who this brother is. So, and we as freedom and justice-loving people, and also particularly we as Black people, need to understand that there are very important linkages between the struggle of the indigenous so-called Indian peoples, the native peoples here, and our own struggle. Indeed, that's why I always use the term freedom and justice loving people, because freedom and justice, people who love freedom and justice, have no color.
That's true. Absolutely.
Okay. And so we really, really need to be aware of that. And of course, as Leonard Peltier himself wrote just a few days ago, he said he is now the political prisoner of Barack Obama, which is true.
Wow. So
which is true.
Yeah. And actually, you know Leonard personally, don't you?
Yeah, I do know Leonard.
Absolutely. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, that's two powerful people, you and Leonard. I mean,
yeah, well,
I would love to be in a room talking to you two. I can't even imagine that, sitting down at a table talking with Larry Pinkney and Leonard Peltier.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard
mm-hmm.
Peltier. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that, Larry. I mean, that's writing a book all by itself.
Well, this is Pinkney to Pinkney.
Right,
and the only difference, I guess, would be the addition of Pinkney to Pinkney to Peltier.
Right. and that might be the route that we might need to take to help get him released. Well, know me, I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to help. You see, if I have to put him on my blob, if I have to put his name on our email list, because we have a tremendous email list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably one of the biggest ones in the country. You see, but if whatever I need to do, and I'm hoping that people out there listening now that I listen to Larry Pinkney talk right at this moment can understand that, you know, this is an urgent matter. He's just been denied his parole. And I tell you, Larry, this is something, you know. And I promise you, anything that we can do to help, you know, we won't hesitate. I'm pretty sure you'll let me know.
Oh, you know I will, my brother. And the thing that I think that we also need to remember is that no one of us is as strong as all of us. And we have no choice. If we believe in justice, if we believe in freedom and justice, then it is our obligation to reach out, because, you know, as the people in Benton Harbor can tell you, we know with these so-called law enforcement agencies of apartheid can do and actually do.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I since you mentioned that, yes, I met Leonard many years ago, prior to the time that I took my own case to the United Nations. And we were actually both in prison together. And I think I told you the story in the same prison, obviously, and that when they found out that we were both political, they took us out of general population and put us in a tier. By tier, I mean a bunch of cells that were empty, totally by ourselves. That's how afraid they were of us trying to educate, you know, our fellow prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing they're doing with you. That's why you're under house arrest, brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. But here's what, you know, in reference to me, this is the 61st day of the illegal house arrest. And it's keep mounting up. You see, what I'm looking at, Larry, I mean, how stupid do they think the people are? Don't they know that they see, anytime you're in a court system that don't know that they lost the state, the appeal case, I think they believe they won. I don't know whether these judges are this stupid, or they think we're that stupid, or they think the lawyers I have are that stupid. It's obvious the lawyers they do things their way.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than coming and talking to me about it, I'm not going to say I'm smarter than they are. I'm not going to say that, because one of them just so happened to be a Harvard grad. And he,
oh,
and
my goodness, aren't I impressed?
And he also definitely let you know right up front he's a Harvard man. But
like I said, aren't I impressed? Go ahead, brother.
Well, I do understand. But the problem is they forget one very valuable situation here. I'm the one that's under house arrest.
That's
I'm
right.
The one should be making decisions on what you should do about my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do it, just say you don't want to do it, but at least ask me. So Larry, I know that once before you had a confrontation with one of them in reference to something like that, and I was impressed with the way you handled that. That was, I mean, you wrote a tremendous letter, but my thing is this, how do these lawyers, think that they can get away with what they do? Why don't you just ask the person, what do they want to do? And if it's not within the law or it's not within what you think should be done, don't do it.
Exactly. Lawyers are supposed to be, all right, supposed to be. I'm not saying are.
Mm-hmm.
They are supposed to be what we used to call in the joint, you know, one prisoner be talking to another prisoner and say, what do you think of your mouthpiece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by mouthpiece, he meant lawyer.
Right,
what do you think of your mouthpiece, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I'd either say it's a dump truck or,
no,
or he or she's for real.
Yeah, yeah.
One or the other. And if they were for real, which I was fortunate to have a couple who were extremely for real, and who treated me with enormous dignity and respect and listened to what I said and followed what I said.
Yeah.
You see, because as I pointed out to them and as I'm sure you have pointed out repeatedly, hey, you're the one doing the time.
Right.
You're the one who was in prison.
Here's the thing, like during the trial, I said, if I get convicted, see, it's four of us. We can split this time down the middle. That'll make it a lot easier for everybody, don't you think? But it kind of like got their attention a little bit, too, because now I guess they realize that, you know, maybe he's for real about what he's saying and what he's doing, you see, because I didn't want them to think for one moment that I wasn't real about what I'm doing. But I was willing to go to jail. I was willing to go to prison if I had to. As a matter of fact, in order to make a statement, here's something. I'm even willing to defy this house arrest to make a statement. Because somebody has to say something is wrong with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
If my attorneys won't do it, somebody need to do it. You see what I'm saying? Because that's how I felt before. I said, "Well,
but you are the new president of the Benton Harbor chapter of the NAACP."
Yes,
it is utterly ridiculous, insulting, and outrageous that you would be under house arrest. That reminds me, see, we think we got to leave the shores to find our heroes and sheroes, but we don't. We have them all around us, and you're one of them, brother. And you know, you're the Nelson Mandela of not only Benton Harbor, but a much, much greater area. Okay, you're, whether you like it or not, you're the Nelson Mandela. You're the Oliver Tambo. These are all people, of course, who headed the African National Congress, which fought against apartheid, which is precisely what Benton Harbor, Mississippi. Oh, did I say Mississippi? Michigan. One in the same.
You did say Mississippi.
My God.
Burning, the whole works.
Mm-hmm.
Who would believe it, though? I mean, this is supposed to be like a northern city. And no one, if you sit down, if you didn't live here and you told people about this place, you would never believe it. Because here we also have the house Negroes who actually front for them, and we're not supposed to know they're fronting for them.
Exactly.
You know, here's an issue that I have to run past you. You know, I talk about the environmental racism. And to me, that's really, really important here too, Larry. And I gotta say, Whirlpool, not only have they came in here and took land from the people, they traded land that they knew that was toxic and had arsenic in it, and gave it, look, gonna make a playground for our children. Can you believe that? Here's another thing. Listen, they took a whole. Now this is gonna kill you because they took a whole block of houses that was contaminated land. They knew it was contaminated. They put a housing complex on that land. They told them, the environmental, they came in from Washington and told them to clean this baby up. You know what they did? They put concrete over a part of it, over the dirt, and left the other dirt for a playground for the children and build houses on them, and just paved the area and refused to clean it up. You know why? Because they figured we would never know the difference. And they would never come back.
Anyway, why would it make a difference? Let's be honest. Why would it make a difference? We are only a bunch of niggas.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Okay,
yeah.
That's how they think.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the people who encourage them to think that way, the reality is we are not. We are, in fact, black people with the same desires and aspirations as any other people of any color or ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
all right? But then you have what I call those Negroidians,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Like no growth Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
So you say same thing that Malcolm X said, house Negroes. So
yeah.
the corporate elite and the power elite, the power brokers of this filthy, corrupt system, the power brokers see that, we can pick out a few choice Negroes and, house Negroes, give them some crumbs, and it'll be all good. Why, we don't have to worry about the rest of them. Well, we're here to tell you, yes, you do.
Absolutely. And yesterday, it was loaded with them. I tell you, they came in like they was big shots. They are, you can smell Whirlpool all over them, you know. And they come in, they sit in the back of the of our vision center. They sit there like they bigger than life, you know. They knowing that they got this election. We got this one. Ain't nothing they can do about it. Do you know who we are? We're Whirlpool, you know. We can do this and get away with it. Now, because can't nobody defeat Whirlpool. But they must have forgot, you know, Pinckney done defeated, well, not Pinckney, the people has defeated them twice here in the city of Benton Harbor. You see, we have defeated them twice, and now we get a third victory. And it's getting to be, I was talking to a brother Muhammad today, and you know what he told me? He said, what is with you? How do you continue to punish them? You know, you on a house arrest. How did you do this? He said, I know you had to, you, I said, you know, look, I told him, I didn't do it. It was done by God. I said, because they knew, they know bad people. God know all the people that's bad. Everybody in that back, we had a back row in a curve where all the chairs were sitting for the Whirlpool boat folks. And they knew that they were about to take, you know, they figured they're going to win this thing. They were so sure they're going to win, some of them left. they left because they said, well, we got this one. We don't have to sit around and do nothing here. So whatever happened here is going to be great. So at the end of the day, the people from the NAACP, they was there. They was like, it appeared to me that they were trying to pull up a Whirlpool, which I didn't care. Because the thing was, I just knew we were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the victory was devastating. It, matter of fact, it made the front pages of the Herald Palladium. So if it makes the front pages of the newspaper, you know it must have been pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially something like that. But I guess anything I do, it seems like it make the pages. So it make the front pages.
You are rallying. You're doing something that they clearly are not used to, and that is, brother, you know, my dear Reverend Brother Pinckney, you are doing what Brother Malcolm did, what Sister Shabazz did, what Brother Martin did, and what all of us need to be doing. And what is that? That is rallying the strength of the people. We used to say in the Black Panther Party, we used to say, the power of the people is stronger than the man's technology. And I might add, and his house Negroes.
Yes.
Okay? The power of the people. Now, sometimes we are slow to awaken. We're like a sleeping bear, you know, that's hibernating. But, Lord, when we do wake up, watch out.
That's it.
Watch out.
And
you're very good at rallying that.
Yeah.
You're very good at letting people know. It's like a bear in his cave. You're very good at letting that bear know, hey, look here, you better take care of business. Like Richard Pryor said, you better take care of business while you can.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you don't, you ain't going to have no cave or anything else. So this is what I think I'm very honored and privileged to be a part of in my own little way, to working with you and the people of Benton Harbor. You are rallying the people, reminding them that true power, let me repeat that, true power must come from the people, and it must go from bottom up, not top down.
That's right, absolutely.
But bottom up.
Absolutely, Larry. And, you know, here's one of the things. Here's what I'm attempting to do also, Larry. And I want you to correct me if you think for one moment that I might not be heading in the right direction. And this is live. So, yeah, if you correct me, I don't feel bad about it because I know that you have my best intention at heart. Here's my plan. My plan is to connect all the NAACPs, not just here in Michigan, you know, in all the cities and all the states together. So when they need help, everybody will come and support it. Because what I see now, they don't support each other. Each city don't support each other. And I was
right.
I was telling the guys that came in from Detroit on yesterday, they did this, y'all doing this thing all wrong. I said, what you want to do, you want to make sure every different city is supported by another city. Not just, Kalamazoo is the biggest. Well, we got South Haven and Kalamazoo, and we got Indiana. We got these chapters close to us. I said, we support them, and they support us. We become a force because there's not a lot of members in all these groups. We have over 150 people right now. Over 150, paid members in a poor city like the city of Benton Harbor.
Is a lot.
Yeah, but my goal is to have 1,000. Like I told them, I'm going to stretch this thing out until I get enough power, we get enough power to take this thing to a whole different level. Because people, when you get numbers, people get concerned. So you tell me, is that the right direction for me to be hitting in?
Well, I can only offer what little bit of experience that I've had and am continuing to have. And let me just say, off the bat, my gut response is absolutely, because a house divided cannot stand. And let me put it this way. Whether it's the NAACP, the Urban League, or any other of these organizations, okay, we have to always be on guard against what I call elitism, and that's what we called it in the party. When I say the party, obviously I'm talking about the Black Panther Party. Elitism. And elitism is fostered or perpetuated or perpetrated by, people getting together in little areas and saying, this is my area. Oh, that's my part of the plantation. Oh, that's my part of the plantation. Well, over there, that's my part of the plantation. But it's all the plantation, for crying out loud.
Oh, absolutely.
And the only way that we can do something about the plantation-like conditions that we're under is by uniting collectively. No big cheeses. No such thing as a big cheese.
That's
we
right.
have leaders, but we don't have big cheeses.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. I know we're being listened to, but I'm going to say it anyway. There will be those in the NAACP who will feel threatened.
Oh, well, they already threatened. You said the right word. They already threatened.
Well, I got to say it like it is, brother.
Right.
I got
a call last night, and he was trying to explain to me. He said, well, you're pretty aggressive. I said, no, I'm not. I said, once I connect all these NAACP, I don't have to be the leader of this inner drive. I told him, I said, I don't have to be the leader, but I will be the leading person to connect everybody. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, I don't have to be over all these, you know, these, because that's what he was, he's the second vice president. I said, I don't have to be over these people. All I want to do is connect people, let them know that we're here for them if they need us. And he said,
what do you mean?
His word was like, wow, you know, because everybody be striving for power. I don't need power. All I need is action. If I get action, we'll get power.
So this guy said to you, "What do you mean, right?"
He said, "Well, he said I'm pretty aggressive." That's what he told him. I said, "Well, no."
He must have been. Was he a Harvard graduate? I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
I know that's right. But he was. But this guy means well. He means well. He's a cop.
Okay.
You know, he really means well. Matter of fact, my heart goes out to him because I know he's trying. I know that, you know, when we're doing the meeting, these Whirlpool people was pressuring him all kind of ways. Because I guess they smelled defeat. I know they smelled defeat once they split up on me. They I don't know what made them do that. To me, that was the craziest thing. I said, man, somebody is not thinking here. I said that goes to show that they're not the smartest people in the whole wide world. Why would they do that? One of them should have ran for a first president or second president. They all want to be president.
But see, That's what happens when people are not a part of the collective struggle. It's about, to them, it's a me struggle, not a we struggle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. I am elated, but I am not surprised. That's why if we do what we, and you often say this to me, Reverend Brother Pinckney, you always say, no matter what they do, I'm going to go ahead and do what I have to do.
That's right.
And that's what it boils down to. No matter what they do, you know, whether they're house Negroes, whether they're just a bunch of unjust, arrogant, insidious individuals, we just have to do what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But that's what struggle is about.
Absolutely.
Letting the chips fall where they may. So I again congratulate the people of Benton Harbor and you, my brother.
Yeah, well, you know, let's give the people all the credit because they're the ones who came and did what they're supposed to do. And like a lot of them, half of my people didn't even show up.
Mm-hmm.
I was angry because I said, no, I don't believe that they didn't show up on this day. And everyone, they say, it's all right. I said, no, it's not all right, because they knew how important this was and how I felt about this. I felt that if Whirlpool would have defeated us, it would have been all up in my face. It would have been not their face now. They wouldn't have said nothing about them. You see, I'm the one who's going to take another bullet in the leg or something, or even one in the heart. But like I told them, we have to do what we have to do and stop praying. Because it's
right.
Bigger. This thing is bigger than Benton Harbor. See, people. Get,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Right. And I don't want people to think that it's just about Benton Harbor. It's not. I wouldn't say a place like Benton Harbor is just a small piece of the puzzle, but it's part of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
What I like to see people do is start directing their energy towards trying to build. You see,
we want to build
us a network. You know, where we can when people need help. You call on the phone and say, hey, I need your help. Can you get down here? Can you get down to West Virginia? Can you get down to Virginia, Kentucky, you know, North Carolina, Alabama, you know? And, you know, can you get there? Or can you send somebody? You know, we need help, you know. And we supposed to pack up our cars or get on that plane or whatever we need to do and take care of the business.
That's right.
So I believe that. I believe that if the more numbers we get and pull this thing together, the better we are going to be.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's something we can do. I mean, I don't see the look. Here's the thing: I don't see Whirlpool them beat me at anything. I shouldn't say, I keep saying me. I don't know why. I want to apologize to the people been hard for me saying me. I don't mean to say me, but I mean us, the people.
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
Well, I just have to put it this way, you know, and I emphasize this based upon what historically we have seen. And historically we have seen that if you do nothing, nothing happens.
That's right.
And when people say, oh, if we do this or if we do that, we might lose. Well, for sure, if we don't do anything, we have already lost.
Absolutely.
And this is what we have to keep in mind. Each and every one of the people in Benton Harbor who voted the people's ticket. See, that they voted. You won because people voted the people's ticket.
That's right.
It was the people's ticket, not the corporate ticket, not Whirlpool ticket, not the judiciary ticket. It was the people's ticket.
Mm.
And that's why you are now the president of the Benton Harbor chapter of the NAACP. Well, frankly, this is something that the entire NAACP, I said this before, I'm going to say it again, nationally can learn from, should learn from, must learn from, and the people of Benton Harbor and elsewhere must teach them.
That's
leadership
right.
has got to come from the bottom up.
That's right. Absolutely. You said it. And I don't see no other way of doing this. In my eyesight, and the key thing, we got to get the people focused. You see,
right.
And you know, your issue may appear to be different than my issue, but actually, it's basically the same issue.
That's right.
People don't understand. Like, they come in and take your children. Your issue is my issue. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If they come in and do something to you, send your husband or your wife to prison, your issue is my issue. If you go to the hospital and somehow, unknown, your baby died, which
mm-hmm.
we are the, when it comes to baby, infant mortality, we are probably number one in the nation. They kill more black babies here than anywhere
mm-hmm.
in the nation. Matter of fact, it was so high that they sent in a task force to find out how these doctors was doing it, because they knew that they knew they was murdering the babies, but the point was they were black babies, so they didn't
mm-hmm.
care nothing about them murdering black babies. See, that was the thing. They didn't care anything about murdering black babies. The only thing they cared about was that, hey, it's done, it's over, let's move on. Because at one time, that was one of my projects too, dealing with the health here, the medical health center here in Benton Harbor, because
mm-hmm.
I needed to know why so many of our babies was dying. But look, Larry, I want to go to the phone lines and maybe bring in a couple of people and let's hear what they have to say just for a second, okay?
Sure, my brother, of course.
Okay. Sister Charity.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. Happy
Christmas.
Hey,
how you doing,
hey.
Sister Charity? Hey, I got Larry Pinckney on the line, and we always happy to be able to talk with you. But Larry, say hi to Sister Charity. She's one of my dear friends from West Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hello, my sister. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great today. How are you, honey?
Well, you know, what they say, it's all good as long as, you know, the creek don't rise. Everything is everything.
Well, Reverend P, I have to tell you, I'm not surprised about what Whirlpool's been doing, and I know that they've been slowing in sales down here in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you might want to check into suggesting some folks that are living in that apartment complex and letting their kids play on that playground. Get
yes.
What they call chelator. It's chelator.
Can you send me an email on that?
Yeah, when I get a chance to get on the computer, I'll try
to okay.
off. Okay,
would
yeah.
you do that?
Yeah, that will help remove the heavy metals and toxins from those kids' system and theirs. And, you know, heavy metals affect the memory, which means that the children aren't learning what they should be learning in school.
Absolutely.
That affects the intelligence. That scares me that they're doing that to those babies unknowingly, because that shows me right there that they are trying to oppress you for sure, because they're trying to take out your next generation.
Absolutely. And they're doing it, and the point is, they don't care whether you know it or not. They care less whether the people actually know that this is happening. everybody know around here that they built this brand. It's a beautiful. I'm telling you, if you saw the complex, you'd be saying you'd be jumping up and down because it's a very nice complex. But it's the place. It was built on toxic poison. It was the ground is poison, and they knew it was poison. And yet they build it, and people are living there. Children are playing in the dirt area of the complex. But yet and still, nobody says nothing. Reason, because U.S. Representative Fred Upton, he's from Washington. He got that political pull. Everything that goes on here goes through that man. Anything that bad happens here is because of that man. Because they know that they got...
And you know what he got on the sister soapbox, don't you?
Say that again? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what he got.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand it got emailed to him, too.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And here's another thing, too. my brother Larry on there, you also gave Buzzball and Wiley the Jackass of the Year Award.
Well, it's called the Jackass
Civil
Justice Award.
Yeah. Tell them a little bit about that.
Okay, the Jackass of Injustice Award we send to people that are involved in the criminal justice system or politicians that have obviously have issues with actually being faithful to their duties. And Reverend Pinckney, we sent those out to your judges, I think two sister soap boxes in a row, including U.S. Representative Fred Upton.
Mm-hmm.
Whirlpool got the Booty Smoochery Award, and because those are the people that kiss the politicians' butts. And, you know, I sent a whole bunch of them to you. I mean, they're printable. They're easy. Anybody sends me an email, I'm happy to send the copies to them so they can print them out, mail them to them, send them, walk them in. I don't care. Give it to them.
Amen.
They need to know. That's what people think of. And I tell you, heaven help them, because when my family and I get enough money together, we're coming up to visit you in Benton Harbor.
Oh, that's a blessing all by itself.
Oh, heaven help them.
I tell you, that's a blessing all by itself. And Sister Charity, I can't wait for you. It seems like we may have to meet you halfway, just bring you on over here. So we know how that works. But it's really such a beautiful, beautiful situation. And I enjoy being on your show also. You know, you are... You are a great host, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing also. But my brother Larry here, he don't listen to your show, but he's the type of guy that he's a jack of all trades. If it's known, he know it. That's how I can say about my brother.
Well, I'm gonna try to find out.
Yes, absolutely.
You're welcome on the show anytime, honey.
Yes. Well, I'm gonna send him an email so he can come on there. But hold that thought. I want to bring in somebody else. Okay.
Okay, thank you, sweetie.
All right, then. Libby.
Hello?
Yes, Libby.
Yes, hi. Larry. And,
hi, Libby.
Hi. I would just wanted to make anybody who's listening aware of an article that was published on September 9th in the Michigan Citizen, which is, one of the very few real truth-telling newspapers we have in Michigan. And it's an article that the title is Park Plan, and they're referring to Harbor Shores.
Okay.
Whirlpool gets golf. And I've got to close this door. Hold on a minute.
Okay.
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 Whirlpool gets golf. Public gets toxins. Developers kept facts of toxic stew from federal agency. Now, this article has been posted on bhbanco.org. That's bhbanco.org. And it starts out, citizens from the impoverished and 93% Black Benton Harbor revealed to a federal judge Friday, August 28, 2009, that property the city received for giving up 22 acres of pristine beachfront is toxic. Whirlpool Corporation, the world's largest manufacturer of washing machines, and other things too,
mm-hmm.
with its international headquarters in Benton Harbor Township, Benton Township,
mm-hmm.
kept a dirty secret from the U.S. Corps of Army Engineers and from the public residence attorney Terry Lodge told Judge Robert Holmes Bell during a hearing in U.S. District Court. Whirlpool-backed Harbor Shores Development obtained a 106-year lease. That's 106-year lease of 22 acres of Jean Clock Park to develop as a Jack Nicklaus signature golf course with views of Lake Michigan. Clock Park is the city's major park used by residents of, this is Benton Harbor, for reunions, baptisms, picnics, swimming, concerts, and play, located on Lake Michigan. The financially decimated city had to have the golf course as the anchor for economic development, Harbor Shores convinced the city commission to secure approval. But residents sued August 2008, claiming the golf course violated the Land and Water Conservation Act and the Environmental Protection Act. So this is a beginning, and well, then the attorney Lodge.
Yes, he's from Toledo, Ohio. I know him quite well.
He said, contrary to what was disclosed to the public for scrutiny in early 2008 by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the City of Benton Harbor, we now know that all but one of the seven conversion mitigation parcels swapped for Jean Clock Park land are contaminated. All but one are contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this to the Army Corps in March of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what the two major poisons in this alphabet stew are?
Mm-hmm.
Arsenic and lead.
Mm.
And Lodge explained to Judge Bell that his clients discovered that toxins existed only after extensive Freedom of Information filings and searches. Had the public known of the toxins, public comments would have been different, they argued.
Mm-hmm.
Had the oversight agencies known, their due diligence requirements would have been greater, he argued. And then this woman who was a plaintiff, Julie Weiss, she said, we had to go through boxes at the DNR before we discovered this information. She said none of the information was available to the public, either online or in handouts during public comment time, nor did the Corps of Engineers have it. In asking the court to rescind the golf course permit, Lodge related to the judge what the toxins meant to the residents. People must stay on the wooden walkways that have been constructed over the former industrial sites that serve as parkland in compensation for the loss of the Lake Michigan beachfront dunes, he said.
Mm.
There cannot be any strolls or hikes over the dunes. They are gone.
Yes.
They now have a wooden walkway, and the walkways traverse former industrial sites and are located a distance from Lake Michigan. The soil in these parcels cannot come in touch with the skin.
Absolutely.
If there is a break in the walkway, it must be repaired within 30 days so people will not have contact with the soil. I could go on. I mean, it's criminal.
And the only reason they got away with it, even this far, is because of U.S. Representative Fred Upton. And it's connected. It's no way possible. We knew about the toxic, the poison. We knew all about it. And everybody in the city knew about it because they had this place called Auto Specialty. And even Whirlpool were dumping poison, toxic stuff all over these areas. They knew it too. But the point is, what can you do about it? They figure, oh, these are only black people. They don't know nothing. They're just a group of poor black people who don't have any money, have no chance in this world of stopping us. That's why they'll continue to build a golf course today. They didn't. They reached, even though you got two lawsuits up there in federal court, and they continue to work. Not one of the judges told them to stop building.
Of course, they don't have the common decency to be human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And even the environmental, I guess, I don't know if they're environmentalists or they just love nature, but the people who have filed these lawsuits,
mm-hmm.
I think they're of different skin color. I think they're a whole group of
yes, they are. They're a group of Caucasians. But the thing was, it wasn't that. It's just the idea that it was my idea. Let's put it that way. It was my idea to file these lawsuits. You see, they took it and ran with it. I told them to file it, but I told them to put an injunction on there to stop all work. And see, if you file a lawsuit and you don't include that injunction, it does nothing. He had to rule on whether he was going to stop the injunction or not. But they figured black man don't know nothing. So we're gonna do it the way we want it, and that's why it's like this. As a matter of fact, I was in a meeting with them, and I explained to them what they needed to do to stop it. You see, we don't have the money to put up there, but this guy, Terry Lodge, he actually doing it for free. You see, but the point was, they wanted to do it their way, you know, and like I tell them, it's not important, you know, who get credit for what. Long
yeah,
as we stop it.
And people have come out with articles, and I can't think where I read this, but more than one place that one reason why this is a bad idea, just practically speaking, is that golf courses are dying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
People aren't playing golf.
Yeah, I think I made a rule about that they're dying all over the country.
May they continue to die.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I agree with it. Libby, that is a beautiful, beautiful argument you have there. That article is truly remarkable. But I'm telling you, it won't be long before I'm able to get out here and do some real positive thing for our community. And I want to set up a forum so we can picket that Harbor Shore a golf course. I want to do it one day when they have a big golf outing or something like that. I want that place surrounded with people, you know, maybe 1,000 or two people just come out and just pick it for a whole 2-3 days, as long as they're having a tournament or something like that. I want to do something that's going to let them know that we're not going to take this mess no more, because I'm basically fed up with them. But look, we only got 2 more minutes left. But Larry, is there anything that you would like to say yourself? Because I want to tell you, I really, really enjoy you on, and I'm going to ask that you come on with me again next week. General Baker going to be on next week. He's the first person, even before Muhammad Ali, who refused to go to the Vietnam War.
Good.
Now General Baker. He's a very, very good friend of mine. But he's going to be on next week, and he's a true activist. Larry, you're going to love this guy. I look forward to it.
Yes. I look forward to it, brother. And the only thing I have to say is continue to struggle, continue to fight. The people's victory is assured as long as we do that.
We're right on it. Amen. Hey, Sister Charity, you got something you want to say?
Well, you know, I would say do every tournament, no matter how big or small.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because well, we're going to be ready for them.
On your side, honey.
And Sister Charity, it won't be long.
Okay.
Libby, you got something to say? You got about 30 seconds.
I would just say be as creative as possible to think of different ways to spread the truth about Berrien County.
Amen. And on that note, and only that note, we're going to say good night, and we're going to say that. Oh, okay, we got a few more minutes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. They said 90 seconds, so I ain't mad.
Uh-oh.
At it. So that's a good thing. Maybe we get a chance to go out in a bang, Larry. Hey, I enjoyed you, and we're going to talk soon, okay?
Yes, my brother. You know, stay strong. I love you. Libby, it was wonderful to hear your voice, you know, at last. And Sister Charity, what can I say?
Oh, honey, it was a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Hey, well, I tell you, it's always a great. See, this is a group that's united, and we got a united front here, and that's what we want to continue to have. And we can't ask for no more than this. And also, it give us an opportunity to sit down and really strategize. Everything we do, we have to strategize. We just can't go out there with this helter-skelter stuff and think it's going to work.
Hey, can I Is there time for me to say it? Make
you
one
can say
last.
It if it cut off. You can still say it.
Okay.
Make
Harbor,
it fast.
Harbor Shores has retained the law firm of former Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
That says it all.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Mhm.
And I'm sure Fred Upton has something to do with that.
Oh, absolutely, no question about that. Two Republicans, you know, so they you know they own what they're doing, so they know what they're doing. Fred Upton and he's going to continue doing what he's doing anyway. So we have to continue doing what we're doing.
It's like fighting tyranny.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, beautiful. Hey, really enjoyed everybody on the show. And next week we're going to have General Baker himself. And I tell you, we're going to get a big bang out of this.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Love y'all. Take care, Sister Charity. Take care,
Bye.
Living. Talk to
Bye.
You all. Talk to you later. Love you. Love you. Love you.
Love you, guys.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Is it governor having his lips fitting with the words of interposition and nullification? One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the bold lines will be made.